This morning, we are concluding what has been quite a long series in the Gospel of Mark. We started in the Gospel of Mark last fall, looking at Jesus, or the way of Jesus. And all the way back then, we said that as Christians, we're very good at talking about the truth of Jesus, what it is that Jesus is about. And we sometimes even look at the life of Jesus and study it in the Bible, but we're also called to follow the way of Jesus. And as we talked about that throughout the fall, that led us after Christmas into a season, or into the Lenten season, where we talked about walking with Jesus to the cross. That was our focus all throughout Lent, basically the time from February through to last week, where we celebrated the triumphal entry on Palm Sunday. But this morning, as we look at Easter, it's no longer appropriate to talk about walking with Jesus to the cross. Although we are going to conclude by looking at the last verses of the Gospel of Mark, Mark chapter 16, verses 1 through 8, we're looking instead not at following Jesus to the cross, but at the reality that even after Jesus' death and resurrection, he still invites his disciples and challenges us to follow him. And so we're going to see that as we read together the words of Mark chapter 16, verses 1 through 8. And I'm going to read them for us, and I want to invite you to follow along on the screen or in your Bible in the pew. When the Sabbath was over, Mary Magdalene, Mary the mother of James, and Salome brought spices so that they might go to anoint Jesus' body. Very early on the first day of the week, just after sunrise, they were on their way to the tomb, and they asked each other, "Who will roll away the stone from the entrance of the tomb?" But when they looked up, they saw that the stone, which was very large, had already been rolled away. As they entered the tomb, they saw a young man dressed in a white robe sitting on the right side, and they were alarmed. "Don't be alarmed," he said. "You are looking for Jesus, the Nazarene, who was crucified. He is risen. He's not here. See the place where they laid him. But go tell his disciples and Peter, he is going ahead of you into Galilee. There you will see him, just as he told you." Trembling and bewildered, the women went out and fled the tomb. They said nothing to anyone because they were afraid. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. And as we start, I want to just make a note that although Mark continues, there's a note in my Bible, and I expect in yours, that the earliest manuscripts and some other ancient witnesses do not have the rest of Mark, that Mark, in fact, ends at verse 8. I wonder this morning how many of you have come crash landing into this weekend and into this service. For me, it's been something of a tumultuous week, and I expect that I'm not alone. I think for many of us, especially those that come to worship on a regular basis, it's easy to get busy and even perhaps frustrated and even overwhelmed by what's gone on in the week. And so we come to Saturday or perhaps even Sunday having worked a full week, being busy, and we just crash. We're here, but maybe we're not really here. For those of you boys and girls, it's probably the feeling of being a week into school after having had a week off. Spring break feels like the week's never going to end, right? When is class going to finally be over? But I wonder in part whether you've come crash landing either from the past week or the past month or maybe even the past year. Because in many ways, as we entered Good Friday, that's exactly where the disciples were. The disciples had been following Jesus around for months, for years in fact. And the last weeks of Jesus' ministry, his life leading up to his crucifixion and his death, had been especially intense. And so on Good Friday, we looked at Mark chapter 14. The promise that even though Jesus says he's going to the cross, he says, "After I am resurrected, I will go ahead of you to meet you in Galilee." But Jesus' disciples, worn out as they were, had fallen asleep. And in fact, after he woke them up, they fell asleep again. It took Jesus three times waking them up. But there's something about the craziness of our world that is in this text as well, the text that we read together this morning, Mark 1-8. And I realized this as I was preparing for this sermon, that so often, even when we come to worship on Sunday, so often we are directed, led by our fears. The busyness of our week, in other words, is in many ways things we have to do, jobs we have, responsibilities we have at work and at home. But in many situations, we're guided not just by our responsibilities, but by our fear of what will happen if something goes wrong. What will happen if we lose our job? What will happen if we lose our family? And so we work hard to try and keep things the way that they are. We tire ourselves out, and we crash land. You see, it's that same fear that Mark ends his gospel with. And it's an ending that, for me at least, and I expect for most of us, is very unsettling. The last words of the Gospel of Mark are, "Trembling and bewildered, the women went out and fled the tomb. They said nothing to anyone because they were afraid." How often are we also governed by fear? Now, if we know the other Gospels, if you've heard the Gospel story from Matthew or Luke or John, then you know that that's not the end of the story. And yet I think Mark is trying to do something powerful and something beautiful here in ending his Gospel with the fear of God's people, the fear of Jesus' followers. You see, what we get in the Gospel of Mark is something beautiful. We don't get proof. We don't get a picture of the resurrected Jesus appearing to his disciples and appearing to the crowds, but what we get instead is a promise, a testimony that says he is risen. And then with that, an invitation for us to believe. An invitation that goes all the way back to the beginning of Mark, to Jesus' first sermon where he said, "The time has come, the kingdom of heaven is here, repent and believe the good news." You see, in our world where we are so often governed by fear, what we want is proof. We want a sure thing, don't we? We love proof, we love certainty, we love a job that's a sure thing. We love a dating relationship maybe where we never fight. An investment that guarantees big payouts. We love friends who we know will never let us down. We go so often through this world looking for a sure thing, looking for proof before we're willing to take a step of faith. And Mark refuses to give us proof. Instead, he invites us and challenges us to follow Jesus or to listen to Jesus' words throughout the Gospel of Mark, and to follow Jesus' actions. In fact, I think in this passage, as I prepared, I found that Jesus offers a rather compelling vision of how the world could be. Not only as we think back throughout the Gospel of Mark, what we've looked at previously, but also as we look forward to the book of Acts, where we'll be moving ahead as a congregation over the next couple weeks. Jesus, or Mark rather, telling the story of Jesus, offers a compelling vision for how a world with Jesus, a world where we follow Jesus, can be. This morning, as we look at that, I want to ask you some questions. And I want to invite you to ponder these questions as we go through this passage and look specifically at those last few words, the words of the man in white to the women. The first question is this: are you looking for a community? Are you looking for a family, a place to belong? See, Jesus in Mark chapter 16 here says that he will go, or the man in white says to the women that they should go ahead and tell Jesus' disciples and tell Peter that Jesus is going ahead of you into Galilee. There you will see him just as he told you. He told them, of course, a few chapters earlier on Good Friday when he was going to the cross. But Jesus has been telling his disciples for weeks and months and years throughout his ministry that he is going ahead of them to prepare a place for them. In fact, throughout Jesus' ministry, he has been inviting them not just to follow him, literally follow him as he walks around, but he's been inviting them to be a part of his new spiritual family. Which means that if you're a disciple of Jesus, or if you want to be a disciple of Jesus, you're invited not just to have the family that you came from, with all of its wonder and amazement and joy and warts and problems and frustrations, but you're also invited to have a new family, the family of Jesus, the family of God. And it's a family that is just as broken, I'm sure, as the family that you came from. And yet, it's a family that is led by and characterized by the love of Jesus. And so in the midst of our brokenness, in the midst of our anger and frustrations and problems with each other, what we always come back to is that Jesus is leading his people, that he's leading his church, and that he welcomes each of us, just as we are, into his new family. Are you looking for a community, for a family to belong to? You won't find a better one than the family of God. Or perhaps you're tired of carrying the weight of the world on your shoulders. This week again, I was faced with that reality, as I expect many of you were. The reality that so often we take our responsibilities and we take the things that are expected of us and we shoulder it all ourselves. It often feels as though the world's going to end, or at least my life is going to end, if I don't get all this stuff done. After all, people have expectations of me. I have expectations of myself. But Mark shows us in this story, by ending the story as he does, with the fear and trembling bewilderment of the women, he shows us that the kingdom of God doesn't rest on our shoulders. That the mission of God doesn't depend on our ability to do all the things that we're supposed to do. The kingdom of God doesn't depend on us being perfect or being right or even trying our hardest. But in fact, if Jesus goes ahead of his disciples, if Jesus goes ahead of his people, then everything rests on Jesus' shoulders. Then in fact, if it wasn't clear on the cross, then it ought to be clear in Jesus' resurrection or death and resurrection. That he carried not only the weight of my sin, but also the weight of your sin. Carried all the brokenness, all the frustration, all the incomplete projects and unsatisfied expectations. He took it all and put it on his shoulders and paid for it on the cross. See, we ought, as we often say at the beginning of the text, this is the word of the Lord, thanks be to God. When we understand the fear and frustration, or the fear and bewilderment of the women, saying nothing to anyone because they were too afraid, we really ought to say thanks be to God. Because the truth is, none of us, I think, can say that we're any better than these women. None of us can say, oh, if I was there and if I saw the angel, I certainly wouldn't have kept quiet. Because as we said earlier, the truth is that so often we are characterized by the same fear that these women had. And so it's a joy. It's amazing to see that the mission of God doesn't rest on our shoulders, but instead rests on Jesus' shoulders. That the invitation to God's family is not first and foremost about the expectation or the need that God has for us. That God's love doesn't rest or depend on your ability to get to a certain level or achieve something or be obedient or even more obedient. That instead, the invitation to God's family is what characterizes us as God's people. And because of that belonging, we desire to be more and more like our Father, more and more like our big brother, Jesus, following him, not just his life, not just his truth, but also following him in the way that he goes, in the way that he lives, and even in the way that he dies. Are you tired of carrying the weight of the world? You see, when you come to Jesus, that weight is lifted. It's put on his shoulders. It dies with him. And you receive Jesus' life instead of his death. As I said earlier, the cross is never God's final word. The pain and suffering and death of this world is never God's final word. Instead, as part of the family of God, we are given, you are given, resurrection life, a new identity, and a burden that is easy and light. Are you looking for community? Are you looking for a family, a place to belong to? The family of God, the spiritual family, even here at New Life, is a good place for you to be. It's a good place for all of us to be. Are you tired of carrying the weight of the world? Well, as a family here together, we not only bear one another's burdens, but celebrate that Jesus Christ bears our burdens for us. And finally, are you desperately in need of direction and hope? Do you need a direction? Do you need a hope, a purpose for your life that so often seems aimless, or even sometimes seems aimless? Because after all, it's tiring, isn't it? When we come crash landing into the weekend, it's tiring to have spent all week pursuing our own agendas, building our own purpose. See, there's something powerful about Jesus' resurrection in the Gospel of Mark. As I said in the introduction, Jesus has been leading his disciples and inviting them to follow for years now, for two or more years. But even after Jesus' death and resurrection, the man in white, who we know from the other Gospels is an angel, a messenger of God, the man in white says to the women, "Go tell Jesus' disciples, tell Peter, Jesus is going ahead of you to Galilee. There you will meet him just as he said, just as he told you. Jesus is going ahead of you." See, there's no proof in this story. We don't get to see the disciples go on to Galilee and meet Jesus, at least in Mark, although we know that Jesus kept his promise from the other Gospels. But we don't get proof here. We simply get a promise, an assurance for Jesus' disciples, for those who follow him, that he will go ahead of you. And that's a promise that's only for Jesus' disciples, but it's especially for Jesus' disciples, for everyone who calls Jesus Lord and who calls God their Father, our Father. The promise is that if you are following Jesus, that he goes ahead of you. That there's nowhere you go that he hasn't been before. There's no problem that you enter into that you go into alone. Because Jesus meets you in your questions. He meets you in your doubts. He meets you in your needs and cares for you. He meets you and leads you into truth, into his way and into his new resurrection life. And as this is April Fool's Day, it's probably worth saying that this isn't a joke. It's true. The problem is that for many of us, it seems too good to be true. It seems like the claims of the resurrection, the promise of new life, is more like a fairy tale or more like a joke than an actual reality that we can follow and live by the other 364 days of the year. But here again, we come to the end of the Gospel of Mark. There is no proof that will satisfy you if what you're looking for is proof. Instead, you are invited to follow. Invited to experience the family of God, to follow the way of Jesus, and to see in the experience if it is not only satisfying, but also life-giving. There's no joke, but if you believe and follow, Scripture promises, and we have already experienced as a community many ways, that God keeps his promises, that he is faithful, even in our doubt, and even leading us through our doubt. With that in mind, I want to ask you to join me in a word of prayer. Father God, we come to you as the women did. They came to the tomb didn't even expect you to be risen from the dead. In fact, they brought spices because they expected to or wanted to make something beautiful out of the painfulness of your death. But God, you had already done that. You already had raised Jesus from the dead. Not as a joke or a prank or a trick, but as the assurance, the first fruits, Paul says, of all those who believe in you. The assurance that we all can have your resurrection life, not only in the future, not only in eternity, but already today. So, Father, we ask this morning for those of us who are wrestling with fear and doubt as the women were. Father, meet us as you met those women in their fear. Meet us as you met your disciples in their doubt. Father, demonstrate your power once again to us so that we might take the first step of obedience and experience with each new step that you are faithful, that you are good, and that you are loving and leading us into a better life than we could ever have on our own. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.